All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Comics Corner. We're doing Creepy, Volume 1. We've done Eerie, we've done Vampirella, but we haven't done Creepy, and I got a lot of those last year. Archie didn't do so well, but you guys really seem to like the classics. So, we're doing the classics. By the way, the horror comics are back in, like, favor. People like them. They're buying them like crazy. I've been reading some stuff about them, and I'm glad they're coming back because I've always loved this stuff. I'm still watching Tales from the Crypt right now, which I haven't seen all of, and of course that's based on these kinds of comics. So while we don't have those, unfortunately, we do have Eerie, Creepy, and the Vampirella comics magazine. So, I mean, that'll give you guys something. And when other stuff releases, we can get it. Volume 1. This is 1 to 5. So we're probably going to do just a few issues of these. I'm only going to do an hour, and then we'll do another hour next week. Probably something like that. And we'll see how things work out. Weird and Haunting Tales of Fright. Dark Horse Archives. Okay, classic artists, classic writers, you know these people. Okay, Creepy 1, Creepy 2, Creepy 3, 4, and 5. Let's go ahead and get started. In the beginning, there was EC. Yep, Tales from the Crypt, Vault of Horror, and Crime Suspense Stories. That's most of the stuff that is adapted on Tales from the Crypt. And if you watch any of those, you'll actually see it before... Well, when the episode's first starting out, it'll tell you which one the story has been taken from. Alright. Creepy Comics to Give You the Creeps, Collector's Edition. I wonder if I've read this before. I don't know. I don't believe I have. He says, hey, welcome to the comic world's newest, most exciting, and most imaginative magazine in 10 years. I'm Creepy, your nauseating host. I've scrounged around the lowest places imaginable to dig up the comic industry's greatest and most fiendish artists. Their psychotic drawings, along with insane scripts by the inmates we have under contract here at Creepy Headquarters, should make for the most enjoyable reading fare for your wild minds could ever crave. Ah, but before you turn the page and lick your chops at all the goodies we have in store, bear in mind... this is not just another comic book. This is a comic magazine with a purpose. A comic that carries a flaming message to every would-be ghoul that reads it. Creepy is different. Creepy is expensive. But Creepy is the start of a great, new, wonderful world of repulsive entertainment for readers who appreciate the best, in comics. But enough of this. Start reading and see for yourselves as you feast on your... as you feast your bloodshot eyeballs on comics guaranteed to leave you senseless with delight. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started, guys. Here's your chance to write Uncle Creepy. That is, if any of you out there can write. Old Creepy would like to know, what was your favorite story in this issue? Which one did you like the least? Are you going to waste another 35 cents? My God, those were the days. On the next issue of Creepy, what would you like to see in it? Stories of suspense? Gothic horror? Weird tales? Mystery? Would you like to see Creepy in full color? Black and white as it is now? Which 12-cent comic books? Wow. Do you read? What's your age? Want to be a Creepy pen pal? You can write to me at Creepy Magazine, 1426 East Washington Lane, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19138. Who knows? I might just answer you. Get Creepy untouched by human hands. To make absolutely sure you don't miss one single exciting issue of the world's newest and creepiest comic magazine, you fill out the subscription coupon at the bottom of the page and send it in today. Don't forget to send money with it, you fools. Only $2 buys you the next Fantastic Six issues. God dang, that's amazing. Sent through the mail in a plain wrapper. Two slimy green old dollars. Wow. The offer shown here is no longer valid, so keep your slimy old dollars to yourself. Haiti. Frank and Sylvia Prentice have lived here for 2 years at the edge of the jungle. He, busy with drink and schemes to stay unemployed, has taken scant notice of the environment, but his wife is all too aware that this island is the last stronghold of voodoo. Sylvia, where have you been? What are you bringing in now? None of your business. Go back to your bottle and leave me alone. Frank's wife has grown increasingly distant and cool over the months, and he equally furious at the mystery she keeps. More native charms, I suppose. Let me see. He holds it awkwardly in one hand, not wanting to believe it's really genuine. My God, Sylvia, a shrunken head. This is the end. The magic mumbo-jumbo you've become obsessed with is disgusting. No more, do you hear? No, it's mine. You'll be sorry for this. Go then, and good riddance, don't come back until you can forget that trash. It had been building up for months, first the books, the charms, and he'd actually found her performing voodoo rituals behind his back. I hope she never comes back. Now's my chance to live. And so he proceeds to live in the days and weeks that follow the high life of a rounder, devoid of care or responsibility. Here's to freedom, fun, and drink! But after the bars have closed, he staggers home. The nights are long, and strange forces have the opportunity to send their ghostly calls through the jungle. Frank, 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 come to me. Frank, come to me. Frank, come to me. Yes, Sylvia, I hear you. What? Where am... Sylvia, is that you? Yes, it's me. You drove me away because of my voodoo. Because you don't believe, but now I'll have my revenge. It's time, Frank. Good Lord, woman, have you gone mad? You can't escape the curse of voodoo. Don't! Stay away! Whoosh! Dunk! Ah! Her head! My God, her head! Thump! Horrified at the sight of the headless corpse of his wife, Frank runs blindly through the heavy brush of the jungle. Aye! Toot, 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 toot. Beep, beep. Ah, ha, ha, ha! Until lost and exhausted, he falls to the ground, panting for breath. Beep, beep. Hee, hee, hee. Frank! 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 No! No! It can't be! Frank! 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 Yeah! Are you ready yet, Frank? Yeah! I told you couldn't... Excuse me. I told you you couldn't escape the curse of voodoo. Frank! 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 Yeah! Frank! 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 Yes, Frank believed her now. He was thoroughly convinced. The end. Welcome, dear reader, all ready to go for a little dip. Look out, though, for no one knows what lurks beneath the H2O world. The story is true. The reflections on the water around this area are made by the domes of an underwater city. Although it is not far down, the domes seem to be made of pure diamond, and the reflections make the city completely invisible from the surface. We can anchor the boat to the nearest dome and both explore. Come on, and don't forget your intercom set so we won't have to use sign language. Having secured the boat to one of the buildings, the two explorers descend to the bottom level of the first building. The city seems to be resting on top of an underwater mountain. This is fantastic! When do you suppose the water could have covered this city? I'm not so certain it did. What do you mean? Don't you notice something odd about the architecture of these structures? You mean the terraces on the upper levels? Yes! Let's go up to the one above us and I'll show you what I mean. Slowly, the two figures rise to the second floor of the building. It's unlike anything I've ever seen before. Now envision this building on top of a hill in a normal city. Imagine it as an apartment or office building. What would be wrong? Well, for one, it would be awfully dangerous not to have a railing around the terrace for something this high above ground. Exactly! Don't you see? This building was not constructed to be above water. It was meant to exist just as we see it now. You mean there might have once been people who actually lived permanently underwater? Not only might have been, we've no proof as yet that they don't still live here. But so far, there's no sign of life. Just the same, from here on, I think we'd better proceed with caution. I suppose you're right, although I can't really have any feeling other than that this is some remnant of a civilization that's been extinct for centuries. You're probably right, but I'm going to have my knife ready just in case. The glint of steel has a chance to reflect the sunlight from above for only a moment. Then suddenly a dozen scaly arms reach out of the shadows. Swiftly, silently, the two surface people are carried into the weird structure and through numerous intricate passageways. So, two more of the surface dwellers have entered our domain. It has been long since the last ones were here. Is the language that we learned from them still familiar to you? Yes, we can hear you somehow, and understand you, but how long have your people been living here, and what do you intend on doing with us? We realize that you must soon return to your own world for air, that you are not fortunate enough to be able to remain among us. I'm afraid my people were a bit impetuous. As soon as they saw your knife, they thought it best to disarm you. We made a ruling against having weapons in this civilization many years ago, relying totally upon our camouflaging domes to remain hidden to the upper world. We are in reality a peace-loving people and have no desire to bring you harm. But for our own protection, you will no longer possess memory of your visit to us. You will take back with you a large container of small poisonous silverfish and tell everyone that it is a large school of similar specimens which create the reflection seen from above. But that is unnecessary. The people of our world will be friendly. We have made great strides since World War III in developing understanding between the different races. I fear our races would find little acceptance even in the most advanced of your societies. They would want to destroy us immediately. Guards! Take word to the Senate members that I wish to see them at once! Our ancestors had a World War III also. They were living on land at that time. They had discovered nuclear weapons a little bit earlier during the course of the Second Great War. After the Third War, very little remained of mankind as it had been known. Some of the new babies born after the Third War remained normal, but not many. Most were too deformed to survive. A number of new forms, however, were both intellectually advanced and fortunate enough to be able to survive underwater. Here, they grew into a civilization isolated from further surface wars. But not all of the new life forms were as close to the human form as our ancestors, But not all of the new life forms were as close to the human form of our ancestors as myself. Slowly, the door at the far end of the chamber opens. A dozen shadowy forms slither forward. Most of us evolved into different forms, forms similar to those possessed by our Senate members. You sent for us, Excellency? The surface people have fainted, Your Excellency. It is just as well. When they regain consciousness in their boat, they will have no memory of us, and we will be safe until the next great war, which will surely poison the waters as well as the land. But perhaps after that war, there will evolve new forms, as did we, which can live in peace away from man's wars somewhere else, until the next cycle when man destroys everything. Yes, Your Excellency. Excuse me. We'll try that one again. Yes, Your Excellency. Quite so, quite so. So anyway, my little friends, let's get back to dry land, for Uncle Creepy has another goodie for you on the following page. Heh, heh, heh.
The end.
Sicily, ancient and barren island, where hot winds carry seeds of centuries, old superstition, and some will tell you, vampires fly at dusk. Another one! Oh, blood drained from his body! Vampiri! The fifth since that Count Orsini and his new bride moved into the old villa. Time the police were less timid of his noble blood and ready tax money. Carlos let me oversleep, darling. Where are you?
Patient, my love, I'm bringing your breakfast.
Breakfast at this time of night. I'll never get used to this topsy-turvy schedule you have us keep.
That was clear when we married. Day is for sleeping. Night is to live. No danger of the sun waking you now. Nothing but beautiful moonlight.
Finished already? The juice was plenty. Would you like the rest, darling?
I had something when I got up while I was working in the tower room.
Wouldn't it be more cheerful up there, writing your book in the daytime? I think we miss a lot at night.
Elena, I find working at night vital.
You must learn to accept this as the only way things can be. Forgive my nagging, darling. Let's go downstairs.
Count Orsini, the chief inspector of police, is up from the village to see you. Sorry to intrude, Count Orsini, but tonight another of the villagers was murdered. A tragedy, but I fail to see how this involves me, Inspector.
The villagers have always been suspicious of strangers, and since the killings began shortly after your arrival,
they wish to blame me. Question the servants. I haven't left the villa.
This is true. As usual, the Count rose at dusk until bringing the Countess her meal. He was in the tower room working on his novel. There's only one door. We would have seen him leave.
Surely you've satisfied Carlo... Excuse me, surely you're satisfied Carlo couldn't be involved in anything so horrible.
Of course, Countess, but villagers are foolish, fear-stricken people. For them, this is not the ordinary work, but the... Excuse me, ordinary murder, but the work of a vampir...
None of that superstitious drivel, Inspector. I won't have you frighten my wife with old wives' tales.
My pardon, Count Orsini.
Should there be any further questions, I'm sure they can be taken up with the servants.
Most sorry to have troubled you, Count Orsini.
You were harsh with the inspector, darling. Shouldn't you take more interest in the village's problems?
My only interest is you, Elena. Almost dawn, we should be getting to bed.
Couldn't we sometimes leave the curtain open and watch the dawn break? It must be lovely. You and the night are Sicily's loveliness. The sun only scorches and destroys. Keep those curtains closed.
The following night.
Work hard on your novel, darling. I'll amuse myself until you're ready to come down.
Only a couple of hours, Elena. There are new records for Milano in the den. Play those while you wait.
I can't find them. I've heard the old ones so often. Carlo won't mind if I disturb him to check again where they are. Carlo, darling, I'm sorry to bother you, but I can't find the records. Darling, it's me, Elena. Carlo? Well, why, it's empty. Carlo has a small library here. All these books, they're about vampires. The vampire rises at dusk, seeking a victim to satiate its lust for human blood. But it must return before dawn to its place of rest, for when struck by the sun's rays, it will be destroyed. That looks like... one of Carlo's shirts, covered with bloodstains.
Elena, what are you doing here?
A hidden passage, that's why they never saw you leave. What's that? What are you hiding? It's blood! Elena, no! It's true! You're a vampire! Vampire!
Don't, Elena! Come back! Elena, stop! Listen to me! I can explain!
Give me a chance, Elena! I'm not a vampire! Just let me explain! You're lying. You killed all those people. I know you did. Elena, I love you. Promise you won't do anything until you hear me out. I'm not a vampire. All right, Carlo, I'll let you explain. But if you're not a vampire, you won't mind if I do this. In a few seconds, the sun will stream in here. That would kill a real vampire. You don't know what you've done, Elena. Yes, I killed those villagers. Each time I pretended to be in the tower room working on my book. I'd sneak out the passage, find a victim, drain his blood, and bring it back to the tower room in a container. Being a vampire is horrible. To be a slave to an eternal lust for human blood is degradation more than most minds can stand. A tortured vampire blanks its terrible existence from its own brain. Only in the midst of its ghastly bloodletting is there ever awareness of what a horror is it's living. That's why each evening I brought you a juice glass filled with the villager's blood as part of breakfast. Not involved in the blood hunt, you never knew. You were the vampire, Elena. You were the vampire. Tisk tisk. It was the end.
War of the Worlds. Frankenstein. He's a horror classics. Picture of Dorian Gray. The Invisible Man. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
most frightening horror movie scene ever made. Lon Chaney and Phantom of the Opera. The Man They Could Not Hang. The Marvelous Story of John Lee. Have a spook show in your own home. Want to fool and amaze family and friends? This booklet gives full instructions for performing 10 spook tricks. Turn the lights low and give a spook show right after the booklet arrives. You will mystify everyone. Send a dollar plus 25 cents postage and handling. Watch the miracle of birth before your very eyes. Nurse embryos from egg to chick. Wow. Perpetual motion solar engine. Energy from light makes it work. Your own mystery man mask. Did you get your mystery man mask yet? Have a great time starting a mystery man club. Mask goes overhead as slit for mouth, holes for eyes. Made of real wool, lined with comfort felt. Elastic headband, special long color covers the shoulders. Great for meetings, clubs, parties. Keeps face warm in winter. Well, I'll be. Only a dollar, plus 25 cents for postage handling. There's a monster in the box! Is it alive? Will it work? Just push the switch and see what happens. Grinding starts, lid slowly opens. A ghoulish green hand moves up from the inside, hesitates, and quickly pushes switch to off position. Disappears back in box and lid slams shut. Kills everyone who sees it. Only $4.95 plus 25 cents postage and handling. In a relatively unknown area of Africa lies a section known as Gontiqua Valley. I, Julius, will be your guide into this vicinity. But proceed with caution, for Gontiqua is the valley of the werewolf. In the Office of Native Affairs, Gontiqua Valley, Africa. So now you can see why we sent for you, demon. You are the only one in this territory with big game hunting experience to get to the bottom of this mystery. If you can do it, my people will be eternally grateful. Oh, look at that Frank Frazetta art. Now let me get this straight. Your people feel that this animal, which has been seen prowling through the villages at night, is the legendary demon Gontiqua, for which this valley was named. Exactly what is it that gives them this belief? The educated people of the valley have, of course, long ago relinquished their beliefs in the gods and demons of old. But there are many who still cling to the old superstitions, maintaining the old fears that have always haunted the valley. The creature that we have all seen does much to give credence to the old superstitions, for it has been on the prowl as long as the oldest inhabitant can remember, and in the tales of their fathers from the time of the first settlements. No other animal of its kind has ever been seen. To all appearances, it is indeed a lone, immortal beast. Yet you say this thing has never killed. What exactly, then, is it that the people fear? Legend says that the beast is the home of many evil things that can infest the bodies of those whom it comes near. By day, this creature is a living member of one of the tribes who only takes on the form of Gontiqua at night. The natives think that Gontiqua is a form of werewolf. Okay, Commissioner, I'll track your beast for you, but not for the sake of relieving any native fears. I want half the bounty on this thing in advance, and the right to keep its pelt. If it really is the only one of its kind, I should be able to get a small fortune for it. All right, Demon, we'll have to accept your terms. Hey, Demon. The natives said that there were snakes in this area. Wouldn't it be better if we circle around it? I've told you for the last time to shut up and leave things to me, Pearson. You're getting paid all you're worth to haul that extra gun and ammunition for me. I don't want any more suggestions from you. Understand? Behind you! Look out! Crack! Trying to make a fool of me, eh? From now on, I can handle things myself, see? Don't you forget that. Later. Hey, I think we've found something. Why, I've never seen tracks like this before. And it's beginning to get dark. That means we've got to be more careful. That thing starts to prowl around this area as soon as the sun goes down. Look! Pow! Pow! Both shots went right into the heart and it's still standing. It's just standing there waiting as though daring me to shoot again. Perhaps there was something to the legend after all. Perhaps I actually am facing a werewolf. Grrr. Pow! 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 Dead. Aha! I knew the legend was bunk all the time. No one can put anything over on Biff Demon. Strange, I only hit it in the shoulder, right on the one small white spot on the shoulder.
Good Lord, no, it can't be. It was a werewolf, and it's still alive.
I thank you, my friend, for releasing me from my sleepless curse. For 30 years, I have had to shun the dreaded daylight I could not stand. Only at night was I free to hunt for someone to lift the burden of this form from me, to stand and face Gontiqua, and strike his one vulnerable spot as I myself once did. And now it is your turn to hunt, for he who lifts the curse is the next to receive it. Ah, I'm dying. Slowly, Demon backed away. Backed away from that which he could not understand. But it was too late. Demon had wanted the pelt of Gontiqua, and now it was his to keep for a long time. The end. Bewitched!
Hey, Marge, guess what I found? An ancient book on witchcraft. Must have been there in the attic before your grandmother moved in.
There are many legends about witches once living in this area. There are stories my grandmother used to tell me which...
Nonsense! All witch stories are nonsense! Why, if all the stories of witches were true, you have to spend practically all of your time just working charms to protect yourself.
Hey, look what I found. A spell for killing witches. It says every time you burn a branch of holly on top of Douglas Hill, a witch dies. I think I'll do it, just for laughs. Then I'll be able to tell everyone I've killed a witch.
Hi, Sam. How's business today? Say, you got any holly branches?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I've got a whole basket full ready to burn.
Well, you needn't bother. I'll burn them for you, and I'll pay you for them, too.
A whole basket full, eh? Well, why kill one witch when you can kill a dozen, I always say.
Here you go. Now, what was that you were saying about witches?
I'll tell you in the morning, Sam.
Were those holly branches the man just bought?
Why, yes, they were.
Oh, my! Oh, my!
Those winding roads took me longer than I expected. I'd better hurry. It's just about dark.
That's odd. There wasn't a trace of breeze before I started to strike a match. Now the wind's blowing so hard they won't stay lit. There, one of them finally did stay lit.
One coffee, Joe, and make it black.
There was a woman's scream up there. I know it was. Still, there was probably a simple explanation. I shouldn't have run like I did. Maybe someone was hurt. Those three old women at the table. They seemed to be looking at me. No. Must be my imagination. Well, it's finally over. I'm at home and in bed at last. Excuse me. Let's go back a bit. Well, it's finally over. I'm at home and in bed at last. For a while there, I think I was actually a little bit afraid. But nothing can happen now. I don't think I'll say anything to anyone about it. And in the morning, I'll take the book and... Wait a minute. This isn't my bed. What's wrong? Where am I? What's that ticking sound? It's like a bomb!
That's right. A bomb. There's a bomb hidden somewhere near you. You've only got 3 minutes to find it before it goes off and destroys everything.
That voice, it was an old woman's. It's true, I've been bewitched. Got to find that bomb. It's impossible to find anything in here. Machinery everywhere. How can you find a bomb? Gotta find it. Got to find.
Huh?
What's happened? Where am I now?
Those were no dreams. Those were no ordinary dreams. I've been bewitched.
Darling, what's wrong?
My chest, it's like someone stabbed me with a knife.
Look, Daddy, look at the cute doll I got last night. It looks just like you. There are lots of clothes that go with it and a whole box of pins to put them on with. See? I just put on its shirt. Now I'll take it off.
That pin! When you pulled it out of the doll, the pain stopped. Where did you get that doll?
A nice old lady came to our brownie meeting last night and gave one to every girl. Every doll had a set of clothes to go with it and a large box of pins. Every one of the dolls looked exactly like you, and she said she was going to give one to every girl in the whole city. Isn't that nice, Daddy?
Daddy, what's wrong?
Ah! That's right, everyone. It's time to get up and start dressing your new dollies. And after breakfast, you can change them into their work clothes and into their dinner clothes. And then this evening, after you put on their pajamas, I'll be ready to tell you all my next dead time story. Hee hee.
Well, my little friends, did you like that last yarn old Uncle Creepy spun for you? Well, if you did, I know you'll really go for this, Dilly. It's a killer!
The waterfront at night, from the river's murky depths, a no longer human shape rises, and is followed by another, and yet another! Their destination, the shore. Who are they? What do they want?
The success story.
Baldo, the success of your comic strip has been phenomenal. I speak for the rest of the syndicate when I say we're proud to be distributing it for you.
All due to Baldo's genius. Start to finish, it's his doing.
Fascinating stuff. Brilliantly written and drawn, Baldo. I'd love to know how you managed it.
Well, Mr. Mack, it's a long story. Like many others before me, I started as an assistant to a famous cartoonist where I learned the tricks of the trade.
Give me some coffee, Smudge. Give me some coffee, Smudge, and then you can finish rolling those panel borders.
Through those early years, my wife Martha was a source of constant inspiration. Think I want to spend the rest of my life married to some creep who rolls panel borders? You get your own strip or I get out. While some did not accept my strip immediately, comments indicated I was on the right track.
This stinks. Drawing's amateurish, inking's bad, and the writing, phooey! You ought to look for work ruling panel borders.
Hard work and initiative do not go unrewarded. One day my big break came.
Baldo, Uncle Marvin died. With the cash he left, we can hire someone to write, draw, and ink the strip. It'll be sold in no time.
Not that success doesn't bring certain problems.
But with someone writing the strip, someone drawing, and someone else inking, how will it really be my strip?
Jerk, don't let any of the assistants know others are working for you. Each man will suppose you do all the rest of the work.
Controlling all the elements that make up a syndicated comic strip is a fantastic job. There's the writing. I've been working day and night, but I've churned out scripts for another episode, Mr. Smudge. Just leave them here. I'll start penciling as soon as I finish ruling these panel borders. The layout and penciling.
I've been working day and night, but I've penciled another week's worth, Mr. Smudge.
Just leave them here. I'll start inking as soon as I finish ruling these panel borders.
Lettering and inking. I've been working all night and day, but I've gotten another batch inked, Mr. Smudge.
Just leave them here. I'll start writing another episode as soon as I finish ruling these panel borders.
With so much work, the employment of assistants might seem necessary, but the contribution of such a person is hardly worth the pampering and training they require.
You work me all the time. Scripts are backlogging. I deserve a big raise and some credit on the strip.
I'm always working, months ahead on pencils.
How about a fat raise and a credit line?
You're working me to death. We're so far ahead, I don't know what year I'm working on. I want more money and my name on the strip.
And no matter how hard you try to keep things straight, once in a while, wires get crossed.
Hi, fellas. Writing the Baldo Smudge strip keeps me so busy we don't get together much anymore.
You write Smudge's strip, I pencil it.
Write, pencil, I ink it.
Something fishy's been going on here, and a crisis will arise.
We're on to you, Smudge. Without us, your strip is nothing. We want what's coming to us.
Faced with the worst, I find I can fall back upon preparedness.
I've been expecting this might happen for some time. Kapow! Pow! Pow!
Resourcefulness.
Why do you think I had you getting so much advance work done? And determination, qualities that make my strip as great as it is today.
I don't need you guys anymore.
Inspirational, Baldo! Say, my son is a great fan of yours. How about doing an original drawing for him?
Original drawing? Or maybe I could just autograph an old strip?
Nothing would thrill him like an original drawing.
Baldo works best alone, Mr. Mack. Why don't you come with me to the delicatessen to pick up sandwiches, and he'll have something for your little boy when we get back?
Fat old goat. If he weren't head of the syndicate, I'd throw him out. Maybe I can trace something out of one of these books.
What's that noise at the door? Martha surely isn't stupid enough to bring Mack back already.
Baldo, dear, we're back. Baldo?
Good Lord, this place is a wreck. What's happened here?
It's not like Baldo to leave the place like this. He's usually so neat.
Strange puddles of water and slime on the floor, like something out of the river had been through.
I'm just going to have to scold Baldo when he comes back. Such strange behavior. Well, what a curious drawing he's done, and I've never seen him use colored inks before. I wouldn't count on your husband ever being back, Miss Smudge. You see, this isn't drawn with colored ink. It's blood!
Well, what did you think of that, Pain Pals? Old Baldo really got smudged, didn't he? But you can't say he didn't ask for it. And anyway, the drawing Mr. Matt got was much better than Baldo could have possibly done himself. So our story ends with everybody very satisfied. Ha ha ha! Yes, very satisfied, including Miss Smudge, for Baldo left a lot of loot. Ha ha ha!
End. Austria. In the late 19th century, as the sun sets, a group of villagers make their way down the mountain road from their cemetery. Their herds are bowed in grief and fear, and none realize that they will soon be in pursuit of the vampire. They told me at the inn most of the men of the village were up here. Where are you going? Why are you leaving the cemetery? Then they must have told you of the two girls we've buried and how they died. Blood drained from their bodies. No time. First morning in cemeteries with a killer about. We're to meet the Burgermeister at sundown. He'll organize us to search the village and countryside. Best to join us, stranger. A man by himself is highly suspicious. Don't you realize what you're up against? My home was destroyed by a menace like this. You won't be hunting an ordinary killer. This is the work of a vampire.
Vampire?
Herr Burgermeister! You were to meet me in the village. I find you on the road babbling like children of superstitious demons. Believe me, Burgermeister, vampires are real. Their terror chased life out of my native village. Listen to me and we can prevent the same from happening here. I am organizing a search of the village. Vampire, flesh and blood killer, will seek him out. You're starting in the wrong place. Each time a vampire kills, its victims in turn rise from their graves and become vampires. You buried the two women up there. Rest assured, two vampires are in their place. There is where the hunt begins. Stalk in a cemetery? By night? For vampires? The light is all but gone. Vampires rise at sunset. Pray these girls haven't had time to get free of their graves. There, by the tree, is where the first was buried. Too late. Empty. I don't believe it. There may still be a chance. It's not uncommon for them to help one another. Where is the other girl buried? But it's pitch dark now. In a short while, there'll be a full moon. More light to stalk them by. Any delay, and they'll be flying by bat's wings to raid your village. We can't wait. Where is the other girl? Up there. She was laid to rest in the mausoleum on top of the mountain. You picked up two of the large splintered pieces from the girl's coffin. Why? It's my hope that later I'll find excellent use for them. Cattails. They'll make fine torches if we need them. Have your men gather some, but quietly. We don't want to alert our prey.
Good Lord! Look!
Quickly! You men with guns can shoot her before she's inside. No, keep still. Your bullets are useless. She'll just fly away. But inside, she and her friends are trapped. But if guns are no good, how can we fight these creatures? A wooden stake in the vampire's heart. Go into the mausoleum with guns? Useless! Fight Satan's demons with only wooden sticks? You ask too much. It has to be done, but there are too many of you anyway. Leave it to the Burgermeister and me. Get to the village and protect your homes if we fail. I have a responsibility as a village leader to do this. But why should you, a stranger, risk your life? They made it impossible to live in my home. Perhaps now I can live here. When I give the word, light your torch and thrust it in the door. Now inside, quickly, she's trying to get the other out of the casket. Keep the torch up high. Higher, we're not done yet. Steady with the torch, I can't afford to miss. Thunk! It's done. You don't look well, Burgermeister. The night air outside would do us both good. A fine night's work. The moon is just coming over the mountain and the vampires have already been dispatched. Not quite, Burgermeister. Someone attacked those girls and made them vampires. He still roams. But how can we find that one? No clue to go on. No place to start. Oh, there are clues, signs that reveal the vampire. They cast no shadows. Throw no image. Just as tonight, when we crossed the stream, one villager was not reflected.
You, Burgermeister, you cast no reflection in the water. You are too observant, my friend. You should have been satisfied with those two girls I allowed you to kill. Now, for your meddling, you are going to die. The greed of the vampire, the bloodlust night after night. Another victim. I can't let you destroy this village. I need it for myself. Every full moon.
Care to take a moonlight stroll? No? All right, chickens, but build up your courage. You'll need it. Come issue number 2 of Creepy. The end. Boris Karloff himself tells you tales of mystery and imagination. Drop Dead. An Exercise in Horror. War of the Worlds. The House of Fright. Fall of the House of Usher. Music for Robots. Terror, the Son of Horror. Interesting stuff. Remember, these are records, I believe. Okay. So, I don't think we have enough time to do the next issue. So, it's going to take us a little bit of time to get through all these guys. But, you know, I might be able to do something where I cover a lot more this week. Because they seem to go pretty quickly. So, I might be able to get them in. I don't know. But I might even try to do horror comics throughout the year. It depends. You know, they take about 30 to 45 minutes, right? So we might be able to go through them pretty quickly. So, all right, guys. That's the end of it for now. And we'll bring you more creepy later.